Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Well, good morning, everyone, and I want to welcome all of our listeners to Women Leading the Way Radio, which is brought to you by a fabulous organization called Connected Women of Influence. I'm Michelle Berquist, your host today, your very humble host, and our leading lady this morning is Carrie Kaufman, who is one of the owners of Action Coach International, an international coaching firm. Did I get that right, Carrie?
You got it.
We've known each other for a while. I know you do some really good things. But, you know, our topic today for our show is called, which I love, is called Why Your Marketing Sucks and How to Fix It. I don't think there's any other way to put it other than that is a conversation alone with the title of a workshop that you do. How did you come up with that workshop? Because that definitely got my attention on some of the things that, you know, I'm talking to you about this morning. But why does your marketing suck? I want to know.
How does marketing suck in small business in general?
In general, that's right.
Well, there's a few things I see. Now, these rules kind of generally apply to all types of marketing that you do. So some of it sounds like it's mostly print-related advertising. But keep in mind the things that makes marketing really bad, I also see on websites, I see it in brochures, I see it in social media, all sorts of places. But the number one reason why is that it's just ineffective. If a marketing, you know, small business owners sometimes tend to think, I just want to get my name out there. If people hear my name often enough, then, you know, that's the point. And it's not. Maybe if you're Coca-Cola, you can market for branding purposes. But if you're a small or medium-sized business, you have to market to get a return and to get results, or you're wasting your money. Your marketing sucks.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, what do you see as far as, because, you know, so much has changed in marketing today. I mean, I remember years ago where it was like, you know, you had to stuff and mail, you know, direct mail was huge. It's like, you know, and it seems like the pendulum has just swung to everything, quote unquote, social media, and it's all that. I mean, what are some of the things that you see within what businesses are doing that, you know, don't set them apart or they don't communicate well? I mean, you must see just a ton of stuff.
There's all sorts of marketing strategies that can work. Direct mail still works, social media works, telemarketing still works, if it's right for your business. But the problem is it's just usually executed really poorly. So picking which strategy is going to be best for your business is one topic all on its own. But let's say, for example, you've identified, I'm going to do a print ad, I'm going to do a direct mail, I'm going to do a brochure, I'm going to do a website, no matter what it is. One of the biggest mistakes that I see is that the ad or the marketing piece is about the business, not about the reader. They've got this headline, Michelle. What usually goes at the top, if you were to see a printed ad from a small business, what will you usually see at the top of it?
I've been in business 23 years, and I hit it right? Because I see that all the time. It drives me crazy. I don't care.
Yeah,
don't
exactly. Care. It has something to do with them. Oftentimes, it's their own business name or their logo.
Yeah.
And frankly, nobody cares about that except for you, the business owner, and, you know, and your mother, and that's about where your fans end at that. So, you know, the ad just doesn't really say anything. It's a list of features, not really anything that different from what any of your competitors say, and just a bunch of fluffy language that's not really concrete. Things like the experience, years in business, best service, experience the difference, all this kind of subconsciously, we as consumers, we've learned to tune it out. So when our eyes see things like that, it's kind of like the blah, blah, blah. We don't even take it in. It doesn't mean anything because we've become so jaded by it.
I love that. And, you know, and I know I kind of jumped in because the title to me was just, for lack of a better word, so sexy and so cool and hip and with it. I mean, it was just one of those that I was like, what a great title even for the radio show to pull in, because I'm assuming you've gotten some great feedback and some great leads based on that workshop topic, because no one does that.
Absolutely.
No, I think it's awesome. But before we get into more of the marketing and how it sucks for small businesses, it's like tell a little bit about your background, because you come from quite the pedigree of coaching for businesses since I know you. But tell a little bit about your background and how you got into Action Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. Well, I grew up in a family business, so I got to experience what it was like to help run and operate, you know, small to medium-sized business from a pretty young age. I did that, you know, starting at age 14, working for my dad's business all the way through college. And then, you know, as I got a little older, I was too big for the family business. So I moved on into corporate America, worked in corporate marketing for the next several years, got my MBA, did all those things. And then I was working in the high-tech field, and an engineer that I worked with one day walked into my office and he goes, you know, I know somebody that does something that I think you'd be really good at. And he introduced me to a business coach. This was back in 2004. I didn't even know really what it was at the time, but I took a little time to do some research and see what it's all about. And really quickly, I found that it resonated with me, I think, because of my experience and knowing what it was really like to be in a small business and knowing what it was like to be the family member of somebody trying to make a small business successful. But I had also gone on and developed a lot of, you know, tools and experience that I felt like I had something to be able to bring to those people to help. And so by early 2005, I got involved with it. So for the past 7 years, I've coached somewhere between 250 and 300 business owners.
Wow.
And I'm proud of my clients. As last year, my clients achieved an average of 31% growth year over year, and several in the, you know, double, triple digit increases. So it's been quite a ride. I'm very, very honored to be able to do what I do and work with the fabulous business owners who work as hard as they do to make a difference and employ lots of people and take good care of their families and live the life they've wanted to live.
Boy, that's so succinct. And I like how you had all those statistics in there, because that's a good coach that does that. Know your numbers, right?
I can't help myself, sorry.
Yeah, it's like, man, you got to be a product of the product. I mean, and another thing, and I know, I mean, Action Coach has such a great reputation, but what was it that made you, if I can say, chose, you know, to go the franchise route? Because, I mean, Brad Sugar has such a great reputation. I've heard him once. What made you choose to go the franchise route as opposed to, let's say, you know, do this on your own?
Well, I'm a very gregarious, extroverted kind of person. And even though I'm also very entrepreneurial and I wanted to be in business for myself, I didn't necessarily enjoy being in business by myself. So one of the things that I value very much about Action Coach is the community, excellent training, excellent resources, just highly leveraged. I'm not to mention there's over 1,000 coaches in, I think, 46 countries now.
Wow.
Even though I've coached somewhere between 250 and 300 businesses, I don't pretend to know everything. But somebody does, right? So if I got a client that's got something that maybe I've never dealt with before or it's just not my area of expertise, I've got a great network of coaches, and I don't hesitate. I pick up the phone and call coaches around the world on a, you know, weekly basis. You know, hey, have you got 2 seconds on this? Can I pick your brain on that? Hey, have you ever had a client experience this? And there's such a spirit of abundance that even the top coaches in the world will always answer their phone. They'll always take the time to help another coach, to help another business owner. And that's part of the biggest value. That's one of the reasons why I went with Action Coaches, because of the core values that they live out as an Action Coach in their day-to-day business.
It sounds like an amazing network. I mean, that's what all of us want, is to be able to pick up the phone and, you know, none of us have all the answers. The longer I'm in business, the more I realize all I don't know. Even though I know a lot of stuff, I just don't know everything, right?
Right.
So I think this is cool that you got into coaching, and I know you guys do some amazing things, but can you share a little bit about some of the different services, you know, you guys do through Action Coach? Because this is just one, and this one resonated with me because of the title of the workshop, and I thought, man, edgy title. It had to, I mean, I know it drew some in, but, you know, talk a little bit about the services that you do, because you work both one-on-one and in groups, if I understand it, you know, and how you work and operate.
Correct, yeah. Most of my time is spent working one-to-one with business owners and sometimes their teams. Sometimes I just work with a business owner. Other times I'll also coach a general manager, vice president, management team, sales team, some other types of groups within the organization. That's where most of my time is spent, because that's, you know, where we really get the best and fastest results. I also offer some group programs, particularly for businesses who, you know, the kind of business owner that they're really, really good at what they do, but nobody ever taught them how to run a business. And they know the only thing standing between them and massive growth is if they just knew how to run it. So I've got one group program in particular that's specifically targeted at those kinds of people. It's kind of, I call it, my nickname for it is my business strategy crash course. It's just a 4-month program. And then there's workshops that I do. I give a lot of seminars. So there's all sorts of levels that people can get involved. They just say, hey, I just want to come check out a seminar, get some good ideas, and go on my way. That's great. Others of them will say, okay, I got the ideas, but those are the, you know, one millionth and one idea that I've got, and I haven't done anything with them yet, so now I need some coaching to help me implement. So there's all sorts of levels of participation, depending on how fast business owners want to go.
And, you know, I have to tell you, it's like I've known you for a while, and it's like, you know, what I always love is when I hear feedback from other people that have participated in some of your workshops or, you know, sat down with you and worked with you. And it's like, it's just, I mean, some of the words that come out of them are like, oh, my God, freaking fabulous. She really knows her stuff. It's like, what an awesome program, you know, that people have gone through. So, I mean, I know you know your stuff. So I want to kind of come full circle and come back to the, you know, why your marketing sucks for small businesses, because I think, you know, it's probably very telling some of the different things you see. And kind of going back to when you mentioned, you know, that the things that you see businesses do, they focus on themselves, their business, how their longevity. I might as well lump bankers into that, because bankers are just horrific for talking about how many deposits they have in their bank and how long they've been around. And it's like nobody cares anymore. You know, mm-hmm. So for small businesses, what else do you see that are some of the things that they do that just, you know, are challenges and that maybe they shouldn't be doing under, of course, their umbrella of marketing?
Well, back to the, I guess, banner of not producing marketing that gets results. Another one of the biggest mistakes that I see in marketing in general is that it doesn't give people a reason to call. There's no call to action. There's no special offer. And I'm not a big fan of discounting, so putting an offer like 10% off, not the most effective offer you can make, right? But I was reading a book one time, one of my favorite sales books. It's called The Ultimate Sales Machine by Chet Holmes. And he shares in that book about the concept of a stadium pitch. So he says, let's say, for example, you know, we're here in San Diego, so we've got Qualcomm Stadium just up the road. Let's say, for example, you get a chance to speak at Qualcomm Stadium, and it's an audience full of your target audience. They're not there to see you, by the way. You just get your 60 seconds, but they all happen to be within your target audience. At any given time, there's a very small percentage of those people who are actually actively in the market for what you do. But I think it was from the book, forgive me if I'm wrong, I think it was 10% or less, okay? Then there's another percentage on the opposite spectrum that'll never be in the market for what you do. They're just not into it, okay? But then the biggest segment in the middle, okay, there's like 80% or something of them are left in the middle. And between those is people that either maybe they weren't actively looking for what you do, but if they saw an opportunity or they saw an idea, they'd probably go ahead and take action on it, right? Like, you know, I didn't know I needed those shoes, but I just passed them on there on sale, and now I know I need them, right? That kind of thing.
Sure.
And then there's the other group of people who they're truly not ready right now, but they will be. So the problem with marketing is it's designed to reach that first group of 10%, only the people who are actively looking right now. The challenge is, how can you engage the other 80%, who are people who didn't know they needed you, or that will need you in maybe a month, 6 months, a year, but you want them to connect with you now so that when they are ready, you'll be their go-to person or their go-to company. So that's part of the biggest challenge is how can you create marketing that makes people want to engage with you? And that's all marketing's meant to do. You know, the news flash is your marketing is not meant to sell your product or service. If you're wanting your marketing to make sales for you, you're expecting it to do too much. All it needs to do is get them to take the next step. So maybe they just need to call you for some information. They need to book an appointment. They need to visit your website. What's the next step in your sales process? In other words, how can you just get them to raise their hand and be like, hey, that sounds interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. And then you can put them into your sales process and stay in touch so that whether it's tomorrow or a year from now, you're going to have had time to develop the relationship.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you even see many small businesses that actually, quote-unquote, have a sales process? Because I find for a lot of small businesses, it's like they're making up the flavor of the month and they're marketing every month. And that's frustrating, too, because there's really no kind of like plan or game plan on what they're trying to do. Do you find that as kind of a common theme among small businesses?
Yes, and that's one of the things I work with my clients to fix. Because if you have to look at it like this, like let's say what you do over, you know, the lifetime value of a relationship with your client is going to cost them, let's say, 10 grand, okay, over lifetime. Or maybe they'll pay you, you know, a few hundred bucks here and then a few hundred bucks again down the road, okay? You have to develop a relationship that's worth the value of 10 grand before you can ask for a 10 grand purchase. And you can't expect a single marketing piece to do that, right? So a sales process is essential. So if you don't have one, you need to figure out, well, where are my prospects falling off? Do I get a lot of, I got to think about it? Maybe you present them with a quote or proposal. Yeah, this looks good, right? But I got to think about it. Let me get back to you. And then they go cold, right? Or people who call you once and then you can never get a hold of them again. Or people who click on your website, but they never actually call you or never submit a form, right? Where do people fall off? And that will be your first clue into where do I need to put in some more steps to maybe develop a little bit more rapport, get them more excited, enhance a relationship, you know, to prevent them from falling off at that one place. Maybe my website needs to be improved. Maybe I need a better call to action. Maybe I need a better follow-up process. That's a common one. A quick way to fix the sales process, Michelle, is to just figure out how are you following up with your prospects, because the biggest challenge is that people don't.
Yeah.
Right. They might give one follow-up call, and the statistics say, you know, that it takes 5 to 12 touches to make a sale, but they give up after the second or third. So if you don't know where else to begin, you can start there, getting a good follow-up system in place.
Do you find, though, Carrie, that so many small businesses are just absolutely overwhelmed in what to do first, second, or third? I mean, do you see that a lot with the clients you work with, that they're just, man, I know all these things I should be doing or I could be doing, but, you know, how to organize them and prioritize them and getting new business? Is that where you just see overwhelm, or do you just see they don't know and maybe they just need to see the light?
I think maybe one common mistake is that if they want more business, they put more into marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even though this conversation is about marketing, maybe that's not what they need to do. Maybe they would be better off putting less emphasis on generating new leads, right? Because that takes a lot of time, right, and a lot of money.
Right.
And it's slow. And they say half of marketing fails, and you don't know which half until you try it. So maybe you shouldn't be starting with your marketing at all. Maybe you should look at first what potential exists within my current database. In other words, what clients do I have that could or should use me for more products or services than they do? And go get repeat business, because it costs 6 to 10 times more to go get a new customer than it does to keep or grow one you've already got. So
mm-hmm.
if you're looking to grow your business, maybe that's the first place you need to start. How can I get more repeat business or more referrals, even if your current database doesn't have a lot of opportunity to do repeat transactions with you? Maybe they've got opportunities to send you referrals, and that's a really enjoyable way to do business too, right? One of the cheapest
totally.
And most enjoyable if you're dealing with high-quality people and high-quality leads. But then another place to look is, well, why don't you look at all the leads you've already got and paid for? Because they cost you something, right? Even if it was just your own time out networking, it still cost you something to get a lead.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should look at your conversion rate before you look at putting more leads in. So it's kind of like turning on marketing is like turning on the tap, the water tap. But if your conversion rate's not down, it's like leaving the drain open. Right, it's just going to go back out the other side. So you'd be better off trying to fix your drain and make it solid so you can keep more of your leads and close more of your leads before you bother wasting the water.
I just love your stories and your visuals.
You
know, the visual of the water tap. I'm like, I'm going to grab some of that. But sometimes it was flowing too much. I got it. I think that's a cool visual.
Yeah, and even though I spend a lot of time working with my clients on marketing, I spend equally as much time telling them to stop doing things. To stop. I know that internet marketing is a hot new thing and you feel like you need to SEO and blog and do the social media. Just stop, right? Your conversion rate's only 26%. Why don't we go after the other 74% of those leads you've already got and try to close some more of those before you spend another dime doing something else?
Well, and talk on that for a moment, because, you know, that is, it's like, oh, that is, like, it's the new shiny light. You know, everybody's Twitter, whatever, I'm not up to speed, but, you know, Facebook is all that. It's like you've got Twitter, it's like you've got LinkedIn, you know, depending on what you're, I mean, you are good. I mean, you are definitely a product of the product, because I see you with the social media, you know, work that you're doing. It's like where you put stuff out and you engage and interact. But talk about some of the trends you see with social media, because I see small business owners, they're just absolutely overwhelmed with what they feel guilty about that they should be doing that they're missing. And especially
right.
as it relates to social media, the guilt, man, it's like that's the part that just eats you up as a small business.
Right. As I like to say, they should all over themselves. I should be doing this. I should be doing that.
I like that. Yeah, they should all over themselves. Cute.
keep in mind, I mean, there's literally dozens. I think in Action Coach there's 80-something lead generation systems. And like I said earlier, not every one of them is right for every business. Mm-hmm. So do some research and figure out, where does my target audience hang out? What do they read? How do they think? How do they like to interact? And pick the strategies that you think are going to bring you the biggest bang for your buck and stick to it. You know, ideally, I tell my clients that they should have 10 lead generation strategies going, right? To hear somebody say, oh, my business is 100% by referral, frankly, I'm not that impressed because it's a one-leg strategy, right? God forbid some of your referral sources dry up or move on or cease being so effective, your business has just, you know, crumbled to the ground. So have multiples, but if you're only doing one or two things right now, don't try to do 10 all at once. Right, pick a solid 3, maybe 4 that you can do it consistently, do it well, test it, measure the results, refine it, make it work. And then once you get those down, you can add a 5th one and a 6th one and so on.
Well, and do you see a lot, because, you know, tracking it and measuring it, I know that's big for you. You know, if you can't track it, can't measure it, what are you doing? And do you see a lot of businesses that they can't tell where they get their best business from based on their marketing efforts? Do you see that a lot, and how do you – you know, work with a business that way?
Yeah, oftentimes when I start working with a business, they don't know. Sometimes, though, they have the data, they just have never looked at it. Like, for example, I have one client in particular who for 37 years they've been in business, and the receptionist, when they get a phone call, has been asking, oh, do you mind if I ask how you heard about us? There's logbooks upon logbooks that they've never actually looked at.
Wow.
Other times, other types of businesses, like, for example, my business, I don't have hundreds and hundreds of clients. I, you know, only have usually a handful, a couple dozen. So I can tell personally, it might just be going back and making the time to make a list and say, where did I meet that person? Who introduced us? How did they find me? So just going back and doing a little analysis. But then sometimes you can just set up a simple spreadsheet, yellow notepad. You know, it doesn't have to be sophisticated. If you're technical and you can do the CRM thing or the software, that's great. If it's something that you're going to invest a bunch of money in and not actually use it, then I'd rather you just use a yellow notepad or something that you are going to use, and then maybe grow down the road once you get used to it.
No, that's a smart way to go. I mean, and really that says a lot about you, because, you know, when you try to force somebody into a system or, you know, software or program or something that they're just not ready for, it's like bookkeeping. It's like, you know, when people get the lovely QuickBooks or whatever, and they really can do a little spreadsheet, you know, financial management.
Right.
And it just walk before you run. I like that. Hey, before we get done, I want to give people, some of our listeners might want to get a hold of you. Can you share how you would like people to contact you if they have more questions or interested in, you know, what you do at Action Coach? What phone number, what email do you want people to reach out to you at?
Sure. My office phone number, I'll start with that, is 619-321-9262. 619-321-9262. And I'll also give you my website. I'll spell my name for you because that's what my website is. It's carriekaufman.com. Carrie is K-A-R-I-E, K-A-U-F-M-A-N-N. So one F, two N's in Kaufman, carriekaufman.com. That's my business website. So if you're there, you can get the rest of my contact information or shoot me an email. I've actually got some links to videos and YouTube channels and stuff on there where you can watch another video I've got called Why Your Marketing Sucks, that's got some of the information I shared today and a couple more tips. Those would probably be the two best ways.
You should probably have like a book, Why Your Marketing Sucks 1, Why Your Marketing Sucks 2, Why Your Marketing
12. Yeah.
It could be a whole library worth of stuff.
Yeah.
It is almost like by learning lessons that you – you know, kind of say, hey, it's like, you know, this works, this doesn't. But I'm a big believer in tweaking. You know, you try some things, you see if it works, and test and try. But I think those are some great advice. I mean, we're kind of like on the downhill slide here. But, I mean, when you work with clients, Carrie, it's like, can you kind of share, you know, a story without saying who the business is? Maybe one of your success stories as it relates to their marketing sucked and how they made some changes or implemented, you know, new things based on what you worked with them on, and it's like how their results were different. Can you share a story that way of success?
Sure. Yeah, I've got tons of them. Let me think of one real quick. I'll share a marketing example. I shared this one, and if anybody's ever attended one of my local seminars in San Diego, you might have heard this one. But there's a web design company wanted to create a new print ad. And so the first, there are two main steps, and this is some remedies that maybe people listening can take and apply to their own marketing. One was they wanted to know, what are the major fears, concerns, and frustrations that our target audience experiences? Major fears, concerns, and frustrations. So they did a little poll, did some research, asked some of their clients and their people that they know, got some great feedback on what frustrates people about hiring a web design and hosting company. Step two was they went and did some competitive research, looked at all what the other competitors were saying, which, by the way, all looked the same. They all had their logo at the top. They all said the same exact things, right? And then step three was they created their ad, okay? So here's a good tip for you. Have a really powerful headline. If it's an email blast, a website, a brochure, a print ad, what, no matter what, you've got to think about the headline on your marketing piece equivalent to the headline of a newspaper article or a magazine article. That's how you decide which one you want to read, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be speak to them and not be about you. So the headline that they chose was, 5 questions you should ask before hiring a web design company. I think that's a really great headline. If you're even thinking about designing a website, you're going to at least read it. Right? This reaches those 80% in the middle I was talking about earlier, the people who they might not have been ready, but yeah, I'll at least read that information. Right? Then they had their 5 questions, and they spoke in real concrete language. Okay? Whereas a lot of the competitor ads, they said things like, you know, we do SEO. Well, a lot of the small businesses who are looking to have website design don't even know what that means. Right? So they said things like, we guarantee to keep your website at the top of search engines. Well, now that's real stuff. That's real concrete language, right? So they had their 5 questions with very real bespoken benefits, not just a list of features. They had a great call to action with a special offer. They offered to do a complimentary analysis of their current website because sometimes it wasn't necessary to redesign a full website. They just needed to tweak or enhance what they already had, and they could save a bunch of money that way. So it was a good offer that people thought, well, yeah, I can at least call for the free analysis. I might not do anything yet, but I'll at least do this, right? They took step one, right? And that ad brought them, you know, $14,000 worth of business in the first month and a half that it ran.
Do you find that when you work with a client, do you actually, they come up with their own ideas, you kind of take them through the process, or do you also kind of come in as you know, hey, what about this, what about this? I mean, or do you kind of, I mean, I know there's a distinction between coaching, you know, versus actually what is considered a consultant, you know, where you kind of come in and say, here's what I advise, recommend, and do. Is that kind of a distinction for you when you work with clients, or do you do kind of like both?
It's definitely a collaboration. We work together as a team, just like a coach and a player on the field. You know, coaches often on the sidelines, but helps to call the strategy, helps to call the shots, shows them where they're off, shows them how they can improve. Ultimately, the player is the one to carry the ball down the field. So it's very much a joint effort. I partner very, very closely with my clients.
I love that. Sounds like you like football. Do you like football?
Actually, no.
The ball down the field? I'm like, man, you're right on. And if, you know,
you should go kick the ball down the field. Or
okay, that's a different one. But yeah, okay, yeah. There you go. How funny. Well, tell me this. It's like, you know, I know you love what you do and you exude that. I can hear that in your energy and your voice and all that. But, you know, I mean, what are some of the biggest, I guess, challenges you have? I mean, what are the things you see that you get frustrated with small businesses? I'm kind of curious. And then I want to wrap up with, you know, the distinction between women and men in business. But, you know, what do you see as the frustrating part of dealing with small businesses?
I'm one of them, too. Right? We've all got our own stuff. There's a reason why I've got a business coach for myself, because I'm a business owner too, and we all need that outside perspective and that accountability and that help and support, right? But I think one of the challenges I see the most is when people get started in coaching, and I've actually done the research on this. This is true coaching of any type, whether it's physical health coaching, life coaching, business coaching, a type of therapy, right? Any kind of coaching you get to make an improvement. There comes a time, usually 6 to 12 weeks in, that they want to quit, right? And because they hit that point when it's hard, it's difficult, it's scary. What if this doesn't work? I'm investing a bunch of money. I don't have time. I'm overwhelmed. All these kinds of emotions come up, right? So I tell my clients this up front. You're going to experience this. It's not if, it's when, right? So that then when they come to me and they say, Carrie, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know. I'm too busy. I don't have time, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Congratulations. You've arrived, right? You're at perturbation level 1. What do we need to do to push you through it? And it's a natural part of change, right? In order for a pot of water to convert from water into steam, it takes heat, right? So in order for your business to transform from what it is now into something different, it takes some heat, right? It takes some pressure. But it's temporary, And if you really, really want to make the changes, you really, really want to transform your business into something that's never been before, then stay the course. Get somebody that will push you through the times when you would normally stop if left to your own devices.
Boy, that's, I just want to, like, just hold a moment and think of that. Because I was like, again, the visuals, man, you're so good at that. It's like it just, you know, puts it into the, I'm a visual, as you can tell. But so many other people are that once you can kind of see the picture, that's pretty powerful stuff, girl. So any last thoughts or maybe one or two pieces of advice you want to wrap up with for our listeners just to say, hey, this is why your marketing sucks and here's a couple of ideas on how to fix it as we wrap up our interview. And thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, one thing I'd like to extend out there is if somebody's got a specific marketing piece that they're in questioning, they're going, yeah, I know my marketing sucks, but what do I do? My offer is I'll help you critique it. I mean, if you want to contact me, call me or visit me through the website, and then I'll set up, you know, we can do just a quick 15-minute consultation. I'll give you a couple of tips on how you can improve it. Or, you know, hopefully you can take what I've already given you today and apply that first and then come to me for phase two, and I'd be willing to do that.
Girl, you're good, because I'll tell you what, I've interviewed quite a few people on the radio, and no one has ever offered a call to action. You are good. Very good. I hope you get some calls from that and even the archive stuff. So, all right, well, I'm just going to say that is our show for today.
Thanks Michelle,
Carrie.
For having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for being on here. You're fabulous. Thanks for sharing such great information. Folks, and to our listeners, it's been my sincere pleasure to be your host today. I hope all of you will listen again next Monday to Women Leading the Way radio show. Have a fabulous week, and thanks for being with us today. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.